Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Show. I'm Stu Whiffin. Joining me always is Blake Harrison. How are you today, mate?
Very good, very good. Even better because we've got a special guest today.
Who we got?
We got the legend, the Skeletor, that is Rhys McKee. How are you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. Thank you so much for taking the time. I'm a big fan of the show, so glad to go on and have a chat with you.
Well, thank you very much, mate.
Thank you.
Well, look, we normally start this show by asking kind of like where you grow up and all that stuff. But I think more importantly than that, I want to jump into the fact that you've got a fight coming up in just like a few weeks. We know you're currently just outside the gym, aren't you? Have you just done a session?
Yeah, well, today I'm actually on work duty. I'm training later this afternoon and then this evening. So I'm here doing different stuff. But yeah, fight coming up very soon. And these fights, you know, 1 minute they're 14 weeks away, and next thing you know, they're 2 weeks away, and you're getting ready to leave. So it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you're fighting, I think it's Chidi Njokwani on the 30th of March, is that right?
Yeah, 30th of March, Atlantic City.
Wow. So, I mean, Atlantic City, as far as I'm aware, that's kind of like, is it the Vegas of the East Coast? Is Atlantic City on the East Coast of America? It's like a gambling place. There's loads of casinos and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, someone actually said to me about Atlantic City, and I said, I believe Atlantic City is the Vegas of America, but I didn't mean in the context, like, oh, the Atlantic City isn't America.
I think Vegas is Vegas of America, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I said it, but what I meant was it was the Vegas of the East Coast.
Yes, yeah.
So, and you know what? It's one of them places in the world you would never get to, like, realistically, a kid from Northern Ireland's probably not going to be in Atlantic City too much unless it's to fight someone, so it's a good reason to go.
Yeah. No, I think they might have like a big Mormon community over there as well. I think it was that the Book of Mormon was like a lot based around like Atlantic City and stuff. I don't know. So if you want to convert to like Mormonism, there's probably a good place to go as well, if you fancy that. You're fighting Chidi Njokwani, who I believe is dropping down a weight class as well. Have you been watching much of his fights? I'm assuming you've seen tape and stuff like that. What do you see about Chidi as kind of like what makes him a dangerous opponent?
Yeah, you know what, I've watched loads of tape on him, and I think what makes him so dangerous is like how much tape there is, which means how much experience he has, how much, you know, he's been everywhere, he's fought in the biggest shows, he's on a free fight skid in the UFC, but, you know, he's one of them guys, if you just went off that statistic and didn't watch him, you would be so, so naive. But on the other hand of that, I'm also in that exact same position where I'm 1-3 in the UFC, so technically on paper, like, this is a massive fight for both us guys. What's dangerous for Chidi is, again, his experience. He's a very, very good fighter. But I do believe I'm his kryptonite of a style of fighter. And that's the part for me to prove. So, you know, I do see holes in his game. I see massive gaps that my strengths are his weakness. So let's see who can get theirs off first.
Yeah. And I mean, you say free fight losing streak, but that's not like, not to bums. Like, it's for Gregory Rodriguez, RoboCop. He's a very, very good fighter up at middleweight. Albert Duraev, that was a split decision loss. And then Mikhail Oleksaychuk, who we saw on Saturday get beat by Michelle Pereira very convincingly. But before that, Oleksaychuk was on a tear doing really, really well. So, yes, free fight losing streak. But as you've pointed out, still a very, very dangerous fighter.
Totally. Like, he's so dangerous. And, you know, I've watched, like, from his early fights till his later fights, and he brings so much to the table. But again, I'm not naive. You know, I also feel I'm in the position where I'm easy to be underestimated at this stage. It's easy to overlook someone who's, you know, hasn't got a win in the UFC yet. So in a way, we have the same mindset, I'm sure, and we'll know how dangerous we are. I'm sure he believes he's dangerous. I know I'm dangerous. So it's just one of them fights that the guy we're fighting for so much.
Yeah. You mentioned you're his kryptonite. Where do you feel like you stylistically match up so well against him?
I'm just so relentless. Like, my fighting style is just, like, there's just no break with me. Like, there's just no break. You know, as the fight gets going, I get stronger. I just think I'm a kryptonite for a Muay Thai style fighter. Like, you know, a very much a one-for-one guy. I'm relentless. You know, it's going to be hot. It's going to be heavy. First fight, dropping down a weight group. It's going to be a test his cardio, to his engine, to his tank. But let's see, do you know what I mean? Because I know he'll have a good game plan for me, but it really is. We're talking the UFC, it's who can get theirs off first. But I have a good feeling about this one. I like this fight a lot.
Well, look, we'll get back on your UFC journey because it's quite unique insofar as you was in the UFC, you went back to Cage Warriors, you're back in the UFC. But you mentioned being a kid from Northern Ireland, and let's take things back a little bit and tell us about how you found yourself involved in martial arts. How did the story start? And was, you know, Northern Ireland has been quite well documented on multiple shows and stuff, that it in places can be tough. And, you know, did you feel that you had to be tough growing up in, you know, in Northern Ireland? Tell us a little bit about the story and how it led you to martial arts.
Yeah. So, like, I found martial arts for football, like just playing football as a kid, not on high level. I just wanted a wee bit of fitness in the pre-season. But if the truth be told, people think I say that as if I was a real promising footballer. I didn't have a shot of making anything at football. So it was good to get out of the game. But I found MMA and intrigued me by how much I needed to learn to defend myself. So that was kind of my hook, line and sinker. As for being tough and stuff, like I could say, I could give you a really good punchline and say, you know, I had to be tough when we were fighting in the streets, but I'm probably the softest kid that was in my local area. I've still, to this day, never been in a fist fight outside of a cage. I hate confrontation. I don't like any of that carry on, but I absolutely love violence of fighting when it's in a sporting world. It's so strange. Like, my upbringing was nice. You know, I didn't have a rough upbringing by any means. By no means, I was having a golden spoon in life either. Had a grind for everything, and it's continued into my MMA career. But MMA has been like the only thing in life that I feel like I don't even have to think about doing it. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't train for a fight. I just train. I don't like try and get better for this one fight. I just keep trying to get better because it's just the journey. So MMA, like, I wouldn't say it saved my life or anything, but it's definitely found my life. I don't know if that's the right way to word it, but like, it is my life this way.
Yeah, that's a lovely way of putting it. And I love what you're saying about, like, never having a fight outside the cage, not enjoying confrontation. I can totally relate to that. But, like, so what, I kind of almost want to go deeper in that and understand that further. Just, like, what is it, do you think, have you kind of tried to evaluate this in yourself? Have you thought about it much that you're like, I don't like confrontation. I don't want to get into a fight outside a pub or anything. But I'd love to have like a 15-minute tear up with one of the most elite fighters on the planet. Like that is such a weird kind of juxtaposition there. I don't understand it, and I'd love to understand it further if you do understand it.
Yeah, that's so strange. A good friend of mine asked me really recently. I'm trying to word the question right. He asked me like what it's all for, and that's me being like really truthful. I love the game of fighting. I tell you what I do love. I love having stuff that people can't attain with money. I love say as a kid, I always wanted to go to the UFC. I wanted to win in the UFC. I wanted the, you know, challenge to become the champion of the world and stuff like that. And nobody else can. You can't financially do that. No matter how much money you have, like it's a skill set. It's how many hours can you put in? It's, you know, can you win all these fights? Can you do the right things at the right time? And I love that side of the game. I love having stuff that's not easy obtained. But at the same time, I'm still getting punched in the face day in, day out. So it's such a weird puzzle that I don't actually have the answer. But I love the competition of it. I love the contest. Yeah. I love going in a room and knowing that even though that I might be the quietest man, I could probably win the fight against them all. I mean, I definitely could in most rooms, but depends on what room we're in, I suppose.
But what was the reaction of like your family, maybe like your mum and dad and stuff like that, when they're like, okay, this boy that we've got that is, you know, by his own admission, maybe a bit softer, doesn't like confrontation, he's deciding to do this for a living. Like, what's the reaction of family and friends when you told them that when you were younger?
Well, I think the first thing was it was a it was positive because it was going to be for, you know, this will be help Reece get confident and he'll be a bit more social and this is a
How
nice thing.
How old were you, can I ask? How old were you when you started getting into it?
Yeah, 16.
16, wow. So you're just quite 16. Formative years and you're already, you know, a lot of parents would think, oh, I know who my kid is by that point. And then you dropped this bombshell. But sorry, I interrupted you, but I just wanted to know that. You were 16, carry on.
Yeah, so at the start, I think it was like a confidence thing. It was going to be nice for me to, you know, meet people, like, you know, real nice reasons. And then I think when I started, oh, I'm going to take a fight. And then I took another fight and then I started winning fights. And then it's like, I'm maybe going to go professional with this, you know. You see, to be honest, like, my parents have always been fantastic. My family's been fantastic. I've always been in the nicest possible way, like, a bit out there, like a wee bit different. I've always said it. I'm a self-declared show-off. I've always loved the attention. And I don't mean that in a way. I was never the annoying hockey kid at a party. But in my head, I loved when I had my moment. And I think MMA is maybe my outlet. So I think they've realised that themselves too. And like my dad passed away, bless. But like he's a massive, like was a massive fan of everything I'd done. And I think, I remember at times he said that if I get the chance to do it full time, that I take it. And the first chance I got to do it full time, I took it. And I've never looked back. It's been amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, talk a little bit about that move from Cage Warriors to the UFC. And I mean, I don't think you was given a fair crack first time, giving Khamzat for your one of your debut scraps. And obviously his story has been very well documented since then. I mean, was you aware of the beast that he was going into that?
Like, there's two ways I can look at this. Like, I look at it as a compliment from the UFC that they put me on the same stage as him at the time. But the real answer is I had no idea who he was. Like, to be honest, I remember the memes that went about of me saying, I don't care who he is, I'll fight him. And has lived to hunt me. But to be honest, like, and I mean this in the nicest way, I really couldn't have cared. Like, I really didn't care. Like, you know, they probably could have asked me to fight anyone and I would have said yes. And that's how much that young kid wanted in the UFC. And some people would say that's a bit, you know, I made a mistake in my career, but I regret nothing in my career. It all brought me back full circle. I fought Khamzat when nobody else in the world would. I flew to Abu Dhabi in 6 days' notice. You know what I mean? To fight in some fight island, like, how can you regret something that will always be an experience that I had?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which Stu mentioned going back to Cage Warriors there. How was that going from being, you know, in Cage Warriors, being a success, going to the UFC and then having to come back to Cage Warriors where, you know, you did really well, you won the belt, you did all those things. But was there extra pressure either exterior or even from yourself to go, okay, I've been at the top level, it didn't quite go the way I wanted, now I'm back to this level where I was successful. Did you feel like you had to prove to people again, hey, I'm above the level of Cage Warriors and the regional scene stuff, I should be in the UFC? That was just a blip. Was there extra pressure on you, either from yourself or externally, and how did you overcome that, if so?
Absolutely. I would say the biggest thing, like going back, it was the big ego check. You know, it's a big ego check for me personally. I don't feel I've ever had an ego, but anyone you would have talked to at that time, they would have been like, oh, you still with the UFC? And you would have had to answer all these questions. Oh, no, I'm back in Cage Warriors. And the biggest challenge there was like, I knew I could win a fight. I knew I was very good. I knew I had all the skills to win these fights, but I just had to do it again. You know, I didn't know if it would feel different when I stepped back in. I didn't know if, you know, I would lose the love of the game for being back in Cage Warriors, but none of that happened. It was fine. And I remember when I walked out for my first fight back in Cage Warriors, the only thing I was worried about that it didn't feel as intense as it ever had before. It was just very calm and very, very cold almost. And that feeling actually hasn't left me since, which is quite strange. I just feel, even when I'm fighting, I don't feel like I'm about to win a fight. I just feel nice and relaxed.
When you went back to the UFC, how was that second time round? Obviously, you'd done media and stuff, and you'd had the fight week and that. But how was it sort of going back? Did it feel more comfortable and almost sort of easier in the lead up to it, and like mentally, I guess?
Yeah, it was funny because when I went back to the UFC, they were all like, welcome back and, you know, good to see you again. And I was like, I remember thinking at the time, like, I didn't even think these guys would remember who I was because my stint was relatively short. And I obviously lost two fights. I didn't do too much good work, but they were all really nice and really whatever. But like, again, I am that, I do believe that I'm the type of guy that I could, if they were nasty to me, I wouldn't care. If they were, you know, bumming me up, I wouldn't care either. Like, I'd just go in the flow. It was nice to be back. And then anytime I see the UFC logo in a kit bag or a t-shirt that I'm wearing or something, it's nice. So to be around that on fight week, it's always like, yeah. And I was actually thinking about this week and talking to one of the coaches. And I was driving you can drive to training on a normal week, like last week. And you're like, oh, I've got, you know, a 4-hour or a 3-hour session coming up here. It's a 2-hour drive. You know, like, this is so hard, blah, blah, blah. And then you get a glimpse of your UFC kit bag sitting in your car and you're like, hold on a minute. Like, this is absolutely everything you want as a 16-year-old kid. You know, it's everything I ever wanted. So, in the nicest way possible, you have to do is just to shut up and smile.
Yeah, absolutely. And in your last fight, the first fight back in the UFC, unfortunately, it didn't go your way against Lusa. But I think I've heard you say that you felt like there was something going on with your warm up or something, that where like you warmed up for the fight, but then maybe you cooled down or something like that. And I was just interested to know, how do you time warm ups? Because I've always thought to myself, if you are knowing, all right, you're the next fight up, so you could have 20 minutes, but you could have 5 or 10 minutes because you don't know how long that fight's going to go. How do you time warm ups? And what, if anything, went wrong with the last one?
Yeah, it's hard. Like, I don't know if anything went wrong in terms of, I don't think we warmed up too early. I don't think we warmed up too hard or too light. I think, you know, the time maybe just caught us cold. It was like, I think from the time I walked from the change room to fight time was probably about 15 to 20 minutes. And it's a wee bit long. That being said, I think the biggest part of the mistake was I didn't come out with the right headspace. I wasn't really firing as, like, I think I came out with a different approach in my head of how the fight would maybe go. And that's maybe a bit naivety, but I'm being very open with it, so I don't really care anyway. I feel like I just wasn't switched on as I should have been. So we've drilled stuff in training. We've made sure, like, these wee things aren't going to happen again. And I just, like, now it's just time to do it under the lights, because that's when it only matters, you know. And as for time and warm-ups, I personally don't think it matters, and this is me contradicting everything I've said. I don't actually think it matters if you have a good warm-up, a bad warm-up, too long, too short, too far out, too close. If your headspace is right and you're in the right frame of mind, the minute the ref says fight, I don't think anything can stand you wrong.
And in the moments before you get the knock on the door to make your ring walk, like, what is your process like mentally? How do you sort of stay on top of, you know, any sort of anxieties and nerves knowing that you're about to walk out to the UFC octagon?
That is the worst time in a fighter's life. Oh, well, I swear. Like, there's not one fight 5 or 10 minutes before they come in. Well, there is. They come in and they tell you, you're almost up. And that's the worst, because it's not your actual route we're walking. It's we're going to walk in like 15 minutes. And it's like, just don't tell me that part. I'm ready for you to come at any time and walk So it's very uncomfortable, to be honest. It's, you know, a lot of, have I done enough? Have I done too much? You know, have I ate too much? Am I still hungry? Oh, my legs are a bit tired. Oh, no, my legs are fat. Like, you know, it's absolutely crazy. But the minute they say race for walking, so L goes away. It's weird. It's like being covered in ice or something. And then the minute they say that, you just melt and you just walk. It's so bizarre, but very, very uncomfortable. Good music is my secret.
We started to lose you different, but you say good music is your secret. So is the walkout song incredibly important for you?
Youngster, like, play a song for weeks and weeks and weeks. And now I try just to, like, the song find you. I always think the song will find you when you need it. So, but in the change room, it could be Elvis to Pumpkin Western to some local DJ to an acoustic singer, like, just whatever it'll be on. So as long as the vibes are good in the change room, then you're fine.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
I wanted to know, do you believe the UFC's going back to... Oh, sorry. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. As long as you can hear me, my signal's playing up.
Yeah, we're good. It's, every now and again, there's a little bit of a kind of breaking up a bit, but it's okay. Do you think the UFC's going back to Ireland anytime soon? There seem to be rumours of it. You were brought on board. Caelan Lockwood was brought on board. Sean O'Bannon was brought on board. And everyone was like, oh, they're definitely going to, like, Dublin or something. And then it sort of just didn't happen. Do you believe the UFC's going back to Ireland anytime soon?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're on the return tour at the minute. You know, everywhere you see they're going, like Atlantic City's their first show in a long time.
Yep.
I've seen they released somewhere this morning they're going back to. Dublin's just next on the list. You know, it's one of them ones. Obviously, we have McGregor, who, you know, probably will never fight in Ireland again on his stature. You've Ian Gowrie there. I don't know if he's interested in fighting in Ireland again, but if he was, he could headline. You know, we have
the
fighters there.
He's definitely mentioned it.
Yeah. Like, we have the fighters and we have the people. So I think it has to happen. I don't think the UFC, business-wise, sign anyone if they don't have their eyes on doing a show there. So I would say it's a given.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I mean, tell us a little bit more about the sort of Irish MMA, really, because we've seen such a boom with the sort of the Conor effect, I guess, that has then opened the doors. And we've seen so many exciting, you know, the aforementioned fighters that Blake just mentioned there alongside yourself and others. How much of an effect has Conor had on the scene in Ireland in youngsters now getting into MMA?
Yeah, like, massive. You know, I think you can sit on one side of the fence and not be a McGregor fan and say he's done absolutely nothing for us. Or you can sit on the right side of the fence, which is true, and realise that he's brought everybody's attention to the game, everybody's eyes to the game. I remember watching McGregor's last fight in Cage Warriors, and it was the first time I ever really heard of him, and he just blew my mind. Everything he said, he went and done. And, you know, he's the reason that if I go in a shop and people say, oh, you have a black eye, you know, what happened? And I'd be like, oh, I play sport, I do martial arts. They go, what's that? And I go, it's the one McGregor does. Yeah, and they all go, ah, okay. So for that reason alone, I have to thank him, because I constantly say, oh, I do the sport McGregor does.
Do you think he fights again?
Yes. I'm going to say yeah.
Do you think he fights Chandler?
Yes. I think Chandler's his easiest fight back, if I'm being totally honest. I think McGregor is such an enigma. I think he's one of these guys, you could watch him, you could watch his socials, you know, you could watch him out doing whatever and maybe pull a blind eye over him too. But I believe he's very, very smart. I believe he's showing stuff for different reasons and maybe to let everybody fall into a false narrative. I think he does fight again. I think he does. And Yeah, I think he does, and I want to be in the card. I'd love to. I've never met him, and we've talked on Instagram and stuff like that, but I would love to have a proper interaction with him.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of Irish fighters really doing well, one of which in the UFC has spoken about how Conor influenced him a lot, and you mentioned him a second ago, is Ian Garry. What are your thoughts on Ian Garry? He's in your weight class. He's done incredibly well lately. How high do you think the ceiling is for Ian?
You know what? I'll be truthful. Me and Ian, you know, I put us as good for our friends. I don't even know good friends, but we're friends. I wasn't always sold that he was that good.
Yeah.
But he kept beating guys, and he kept beating guys, and then he beat better guys. And I was like, then this could be the guy that tests him or challenges him. And the kid hasn't broke sweat. So I'm a massive Ian Garry fan. I took huge inspiration from his last fight. I think the discipline he has, mm-hmm. you know, the position he has, is hard with his wife and his kid and people calling
yes.
out. But look at the position he's in. I think he's 26. You know, he's probably going to get the Colby Covington fight next if that's what they're marketing Maybe. For. Like, the world is at his feet. And I think if you're to take anything away from him, then you're probably just a bit of a hater. He's probably not the most likable person, if we're being totally honest, but he doesn't have to be.
No, I think he's done incredibly well. And I think particularly, as you mentioned, the mental stuff. Like, I do feel like he's made one or two mistakes. Like, I wasn't a fan of the Jeff Neal mugshot t-shirt thing. And there was a couple of things that maybe I've not been a huge fan of. But overall, I think he's a good guy. I think that the stuff that was going on with Layla and his family and all that was awful, like trolling from the likes of Strickland and Colby, and then all the MMA kind of Twitter getting on top of it as well. I was not a fan of that at all. And I think he's done incredibly well in the cage to put all of that kind of stuff to the back of his mind and do the business in the cage, especially against like tough fighters like Jeff Neal and stuff like that. But another fighter that we're fans of that has done incredibly well in Cage Warriors still hasn't quite made it to the UFC. And I think, you know, I'm going to say, Paul Hughes, what's going on? Like, why is this guy not signed to the UFC? What do you think of Paul and his situation at the moment?
Like, Paul, like, the most phenomenal athlete I've probably ever trained with. I'm talking about someone who's one weight class group, but he was two under me for a long time, and just a hell of an athlete. And I mean this in every seriousness of the word. So if he goes to the UFC, he could be the champion within. He could be the champion now if he had that fight. If he got that fight, that's the level he is. And like,
you think he'd beat Topuria now?
Honestly, yes. Like, and it wouldn't surprise me. And like,
that's people, a huge like, claim, Reece. That's a big what? Claim.
Yeah, it's a huge claim. But that's how good he is. Like, that's really how good he is. And it sounds so daft me saying that. Even when I'm saying that, like, I'm like, do I mean that? And I'm like, 100% I mean that. He's wow. so good. I think the world's at his feet. I think, to be honest, I think he's going to have offers from every promotion in the world. I think, you know, I hope it's the UFC. For me, selfishly, as a UFC fighter, I'd love to be there with him. I'd love to be on a card with him and all that stuff. But I don't know, like, Paul, who knows what Paul will do? Paul's an enigma too. Paul's hard to work out, and he'll have no heart me saying that. I think he's going to just be offers, and I think he's going to be a superstar wherever he goes, whatever he does.
Well, there was another welterweight superstar made his debut in the UFC at the weekend. And what did you make of MVP?
Yeah. You know what? I actually forgot who you were going to talk about. I thought I'd be, you know what, crazy. And I was lucky enough to go to London Shoot Fighters a few years ago for some training. And MVP had a guy in, he was sparring. And I remember being in complete awe of how good he was and how powerful he was, but also how nice he was. He was incredible.
So nice.
Like, I was just expecting to go over there as a welterweight and just be like, totally like ridiculed by his banter, but couldn't have been opposite. Couldn't have been, you know, I'm so happy he's in the UFC, to be honest. I think it's just been the place that he's destined to be. And I know he is a wee bit older up the years in terms of being here for a long time, but I think in his short time in the UFC, he's going to do amazing work.
Should it happen, I'm going to put you on the spot here, Reece. Should it happen, an MVP fights Ian Garry, how does that go?
You know what? I'll use the Ian Garry enigma that I always use, and it's like, he keeps beating guys that I think he might not beat. And MVP is a guy that I'm actually maybe a bit more confident that he would be, if I'm being totally honest. MVP, hell of an athlete. Ian Gower, hell of an athlete. But I think Ian Gower is a bit more powerful. So, yeah, I think Ian Gower would get rid of him, to be honest.
Fantastic.
Well, Reese, we're going to wrap this up shortly, if that's okay. But firstly, I want to ask, who is your favourite fighter?
Changes every week. You know, it's funny, at the minute I'm actually really enjoying Topuria. I just think he's so tidy. I think technically he's so clean. And I think at the minute I go with what I'm watching at the minute. So, well, the other person I'm watching as much as I can is Chitty, so, but he's not my favourite fighter. I'll say Topuria or Adesanya is always my go-to. Yeah.
Well, look, I know Blake's got two more questions for you, but just on the Topuria thing, we see Sugar, Sean O'Malley, call him out at the weekend. Should that fight happen and O'Malley goes up, how would you see two big punches like that? How would that play out?
I think I'd be scared. I'd be scared for Sean, to be honest. I think Topuria is like a real powerhouse. I think Sean's not a point fighter because he's a big puncher, but he hits in volume rather than one big shot. I know he has landed big shots, but I personally would rather he stayed at Bantam and stayed away from Topuria.
Yeah.
I'd rather they both stay in their weight classes for now. They've got plenty of contenders in their own weight classes to deal with. Well, look, Reese, I want to end on a couple of questions. First one, bit of a downbeat one, but what was the hardest moment of your career?
I think being released from the UFC was a tough moment. It wasn't really that tough, to be honest. I think losing the Murano fight, actually maybe losing the second fight in the UFC was hard because it was COVID times. I was in isolation, or you know, that bubble thing. I was only training with, like, I don't mean this in disrespect to who I was training with, but I was training with only amateur guys, like, with no, like, massive fight experience. There were featherweights at the time, but I put myself in that position. I had COVID before the fight, and then I lost the fight. And the last thing you can tell people is excuses after a fight, and I wouldn't do it. But that was the hardest moment. I definitely don't regret it, but it was the hardest moment to accept because it's like, I literally put myself in that position.
Ended on a much nicer note. What's been the happiest moment of your career? And you've had some good stuff. You've won belts. You've got into the UFC. You've got back into the UFC. What's the happiest moment of your career so far?
I think I've headlined three Ireland shows, but winning a world title in Belfast is dreamy. Like, I can think of that. I can watch the video. I can listen to the song and still get goosebumps. I think the style of fight I won the title in, and like, it just plays the whole picture. So, the UFC signing was amazing. Two signings was even better. I think the next fight's going to top everything. But for now, I'm going to go with Justin Bernanson in Belfast for a world title. Crazy.
It's a great answer. That would be a great place to end it. But I realised I've forgotten one question that I really wanted to ask you. So I'm going to ask you it anyway. Why Skeletor? I mean, I can maybe guess why. But I'm just like, you're like 28 years old, aren't you? Like, He-Man wasn't around when you were a kid, was it?
No, and I've to this day never seen the cartoon.
You're missing out. It was great.
So when I started, I fought at flyweight, 58 kilo. And just by then, when
you started out at flyweight?
Yeah, crazy. Absolutely crazy.
What? That's mental. Hang on a minute. Don't just gloss over that. I'm so glad I asked this question. How tall were you when you were fighting at flyweight?
Yeah, I must have just been under 6 foot. So I must have been like 5'10", 5'11". I've literally grew up with the sport. Like, I've literally, you know, MMA is in my uncle. Like, I've grew up with MMA. I've fought flyweight, bantamweight, featherweight, lightweight, welterweight. I haven't done a middleweight yet, but I will someday.
That's crazy. So the reason you're Skeletor is because you started out, you were just very tall and skinny for the weight class. Is that basically
it? Very tall and skinny. When I cut a bit of weight, the cheeks went, and it was an easy nickname. So
did someone give you that nickname? I'm assuming someone slightly older than you.
A guy gave me that nickname, and he lives in Australia now. if he watches this, his name's Mark Beattie, and this is his claim to fame, because he always says it. He always tells me, you remember to tell people who named you. And he's the craziest Australian you could ever imagine. So that's his name.
Oh, well, look, Reece, thanks so much for coming on. We're going to wrap it up, but don't go anywhere for the time being. Thanks ever so much for watching today. Go check out our sponsor, Ferocious Fightwear. Click subscribe in the little box below on YouTube, or if you're listening to this on whatever podcast platform you are, please click subscribe there, and we'll see them next time.
And make sure you check out Reece McKee against Chidi Njokwani on the 30th of March from Atlantic City.
Absolutely. And if you're not following Reece on the socials, we'll tag him in the post when this one comes out, so make sure you give Reece a follow. We'll see you next time.